this morning. I hope you are, and I hope you're enjoying the Sabbath day's blessing already. Of course, our second service is going to be an exciting one. I hope that some of you can stick around and enjoy all the children. We're going to have over 300 of them singing and praising God, and we just enjoy your company for that part of our worship today, too. Would you leave your Bibles open to the scripture reading, as we will be looking at that again? But as I was thinking about this week and last week, 2 weeks of vacation Bible school, it never would have happened if there wasn't long-range planning, if there wasn't the teamwork that came together with over 50 staff helpers this year. Cooperation and sacrifice and love, and all of it coming together with the Holy Spirit wrapping it up, brought to mind one word: unity. Unity, a little word that determines the future of God's family, doesn't it? And our village church depends on our unity. Our school project with the roof depends on our unity. Our existence as a church, our worldwide church, depends upon unity. Now let's look at our scripture reading today, please. John 17, verse 15. My prayer is that you is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So Christ is telling us that we have a mission in this world. That you and I are not to be secluded somewhere in a cave or hide from this world, but that we have a mission and that Christ promises protection from the evil one. Now that protection might not mean that you have no trials. It simply means that he cannot crush you. Jesus Christ has you in his hands. And verse 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you and I mature in our Christ, the word sanctifies us, makes us holy. And in the margin on my Bible, it says, it sets us apart for a sacred work. God's holy word not only makes us holy as it develops us, but it sets us apart, ready to meet the challenges of this world. And then, verse 18 says, as you sent me, he's talking to his father, as you sent me, so I send them. And there's a great commission right there. And then in verse 19, for them I sanctify myself. Now, I thought that was a strange statement, that Jesus sanctifies himself. And then as I looked at different commentaries, it made a little more sense when I saw that Jesus was simply saying here that he's dedicating himself fully to the work his Father gave him. He knew he was about to face the cross. And he says, I sanctify myself, or I dedicate myself fully, so that they too may be truly sanctified. So our Lord dedicated himself fully so you and I can give 110% of ourselves to the work that this world needs to be saved. And verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Do you see the circle Christ is painting here? As he's communicating to his heavenly Father and giving us power to go forward in faith, he says that I want them to be fully sanctified and dedicated so that when they go out and give the message of hope, millions of people will come to a knowledge of salvation in Christ Jesus alone. And then he puts a crowning statement on it, I believe, in verse 21. He gives us the purpose of our message. That all of them may be one. the crowning act of all these stages in Christ living in us is that you and I can be one in God. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are one, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So a little summary would be this. God's people are protected from Satan. They're sanctified to do his work, set apart. They're to be active in sharing the truths that they have received. And they're to live in harmony with one another, united in one purpose and one goal, to get Jesus lifted up before the world. Can you say amen this morning? Now, I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to come out of the world and to be part of His family of God. Aren't you glad that you're part of the family of God? Now, I don't feel that I'm superior to people of other denominations. I just feel that I have biblical evidences, biblical facts that support my reason for being a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And I'm thankful that the Lord has led me through different areas in my life to bring me into this kind of a knowledge. And I want to be like Jesus. So every time I was faced with a decision, should I believe this or believe that? When there's so many voices out there, I'd always ask myself, what would Jesus do? Where would he be? If he was on earth today, would he be a Seventh-day Adventist? What do you think? Now, our Lord told us, he warned us that there would be false prophets, false teachers. And he said that that would be a sign of the last days, although there have been false teachers all the way from the beginning, hasn't there? But I'd like you to look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Turn with me in your Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, in the context, you can pretty much see which church he's focusing in on. However, this is a sweeping statement to tell us that there would be many people in the last days that abandon the true gospel. Now, Paul gives Timothy a charge. If you look ahead with me in chapter 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Starting in verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Now, for people who do not read the Bible, there will be a day, if they've been allowed to have one in their possessions, there will come a time when they would be ashamed that they never cracked open this holy book. There will come a time that some people who did open it, that did not pray for the Holy Spirit, thinking that they could just wade through God's Word without the Holy Spirit's help and determine what truth is, they too will find that they're ashamed at that time. But there's some who have opened God's Word prayerfully and carefully, and in humility and honesty, when they compare Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, topic by topic, it would be, I think, impossible not to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. What do you think? Are you there this morning? Can you say amen? Now, brothers and sisters, we know that there's a majority of fellow believers that are outside of this church today. Some of them are waiting, perhaps, for one of us to come and bring them a little more light so they can make a decision for Christ. We know that a loud cry is coming that's going to bring people out of the world into this beautiful church with its crystal clear doctrines that Jesus Christ has given. But there are some who have come in and have fallen away. Now look what Paul says to Timothy. Verse 16 and on. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. So there was already people in Paul's time who had the truth preached to them, who fell in love with that truth, but then later on perverted the truth that they had, saying that the resurrection already happened. Well, that's a sound biblical doctrine, that the resurrection does not happen till Jesus comes in glory. And yet there were some people that fell for the false teaching, and their faith had become destroyed. Now Paul continues in chapter 4. He continues to expose those who would put away sound doctrine. Look at chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come when men will put away sound doctrine. Instead, they will suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, because this was already happening in Paul's day, and also he says there's a time coming when this will be in a larger scale. He already said it'll happen in the last days, but look at verse 14, please. Alexander, a metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposes our message. It's our message, brothers and sisters, that unite us in faith and love and harmony. And there's coming a last day event where people will go against the true doctrines of Christ and will come against us. But here Paul is going through that in his own life. And he says in verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Now, I see that as a noble characteristic of Paul. He's getting bombarded from all sides of people who do not agree with the pure gospel he was bringing. And he says, may it not be held against them. Do you see the love in that man's heart? Now, verse 17. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. And I believe he's talking about Satan there, don't you? Although there were some lions, physical lions in the arena that devoured a lot of Christians in that era. So he was delivered in two ways. But he goes on to say, verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he ends his little scenario about the time when people will fall away from the truth, saying, it's all right because the Lord will take this message through. He'll protect us, he'll keep us from the enemy, and he'll make sure that the message gets out. Now, obviously, though Paul said that the devil didn't get him, he did die a most terrible death. And yet, he knew that no matter what happened, his heavenly reward was sure. And so for you and I who know some of the last day events, and we know that the world will hate us for the pure gospel message, we don't have to fear no matter what comes our way. And I know some of you are going through troubles right now, thinking, why do I need a time of trouble ahead? It's already pretty hard to face life now. Well, I can't always answer questions about why someone's going through their own time of trouble, but I do know that if they remain faithful to the Lord, he will see them through. I do know that sometimes it seems that nothing's going to give. Sometimes the devil has us in a corner and we think there's no escape. But the Lord Jesus Christ has a heavenly reward if we can only keep focused on it. And he who endures to the end, what will happen? I can't hear you. He'll be saved. Now, Peter adds his thought to this, if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 16. He's speaking about Paul, chapter 3, verse 16. He, that is Paul, writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Would you agree with that statement? But then look what he says. Which ignorant and unstable people distort. I think the King James says twist. As they do to the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So Peter knew that some people were perverting Paul's writings, taking people from the truth as it is in Christ, and distorting things, twisting them around until some people went to destruction. And there are some so-called Seventh-day Adventists today who think they're the only ones with the pure gospel, or that the only people that will be saved is those who come into our small group of thinkers, and that's going to be the remnant. Well, I'd like to read a couple statements this morning that I found in a little booklet called The Teaching of Extreme Views. I believe it's a little compilation of Ellen White's writings, but I'd like to read a couple thoughts that she had. Our ministers must cease to dwell upon their particular ideas with the feeling, you must see this point as I do, or you cannot be saved. Away with this egotism, she says. The great work to be done in every case is to win souls to Christ. Amen? That's our great theme as Adventist Christians, to win souls to Jesus Christ. Now, coming out of Walla Walla College, I had a particular lesson taught to me. I heard some interpretations of prophecy that I thought were erroneous. And I said, I'm going to determine to study this thing through. And so I did. I spent like 6 months developing that thought to see if there was any light in it. And the more I tested it, the more it looked like it was very accurate. And I still hold some of those things today in my heart to be very true. However, some of my professors that I took it to did not agree with it. Now, that doesn't mean they're right and I'm wrong. It just means we don't see eye to eye, right? And I found that even in the seminary, you'll find professors that hit head to head on certain issues that we think are clear. Now, if I took what I found to be truth, and I demanded that everybody else in this church better see it my way, or you're not going to be saved, well, I would probably end up not being in this church. Now, there is a time when truth is revealed and God takes people along with it. But there's some people that want to run ahead of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been told that when these preachers come around that either have lost their credentials or they just can't be allowed to speak on certain themes in our churches, some people said, but Pastor, when I went and heard them, I was inspired. And I say, well, praise the Lord. If you were not inspired before to study and you went there and are inspired, praise the Lord. But weigh it out. Don't just take one person's word for it. But Pastor, they preach on prophecy. They quote the spirit of prophecy and they quote scriptures. How else are they going to get your attention? You think they're going to come right out and say, send us your tithe? Now, some of these guys, not all of them, have set dates for the second coming of Christ. And some of those dates have come and gone. Many people are left in confusion, discouragement, frustration, embarrassment. And some of those guys say, well, I must have blown it. Let's set another date. I wonder why they don't quote Ellen White when she said, after 1844, there's no date given. That does not mean we will not know the closeness of Christ's coming, but we do not have a date. Now, I've seen fellow students swallowed up by some fanatical preacher that comes along with charisma and interesting material, but dangerous theology. Some of them dropped out of school to follow a certain message. Some have left families and jobs. You know, there's a real danger in reading one person's theology. Even if we know that person is biblically sound, if all we do is read their opinions, their writings, and hear their tapes over and over until that's all we're thinking about, we do not have a balanced perspective of theology. Some people buy hundreds of dollars of one person's writings, of one person's tapes, and they listen till that's all they believe anymore. Where's the balance in their thinking? There are several topics that our church has developed through the years. As we became a church and had to determine if the Sabbath was a true doctrine, we lost many people because we believed that, yes, Saturday is still the true Sabbath. We lost people over clean and unclean foods, but we've gained millions. We lost people trying to determine if Christ was divine or not. We lost people on our interpretation of the second coming, the millennium, the close of probation, the mark of the beast. Every major doctrine that we've had, people have fallen away when it was proven biblically sound. It wasn't long ago that we rekindled the issue of whether or not there's a heavenly sanctuary. And we lost a lot of people over that issue again. Some left the church to give up the fellowship. Some gave up the Sabbath. Some never looked back. I lost several close friends over that issue. One person that brought me into this church taught me health laws, how to cook good meals and be happy in the Lord that way too. She'd never eaten meat in her life. She always kept the Sabbath. She loved the Lord. She got mixed up into this message. She left the church. She quit keeping the Sabbath. She went to a Baptist seminary. They couldn't even handle her. They asked her to leave there. She's bitter. She's hard to talk to. She used to be one of the most beautiful Christians I've ever met in my life. There's a lot of issues flying in the breeze nowadays. The latest one is attacking the character of God. Some question whether He has power or will punish the wicked. There's some who think Christ did not have to die because of a broken law. There's all kinds of wild issues flying around. Some independent ministers are saying that the General Conference men are possessed of demons. Do you remember when people pointed at Jesus Christ and said He's doing the work of Beelzebub? And Jesus said, "You're in danger of sinning against the Holy Spirit." He said, "Blasphemy against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is unpardonable." Some ministers base their whole teaching on the health message. I love the health message, brothers and sisters, but there's more to the gospel than the health message, isn't there? There's a group in New York who have a communal setting, called themselves Seventh-day Adventists. "You are to sell your property and come live with us. You work in the group only. You are paid a minimal stipend for working for us. You eat only the prepared food on our little campus. You wear only approved clothing. Your husbands and wives will live in separate dorms, and there will be an approved time when we will let you have your nights together." Well, you know, when I read about that group, and then I had gone up and looked around King David, his property up here at Benton Harbor, it sounded almost the same kind of situation. And it also reminded me of Jonestown. And I wondered, what does the world think when they're looking for a church and they see these little splintered groups of Adventists claiming to have the pure gospel? Well, you know, brothers and sisters, the devil is very busy today, isn't he? Very busy. But so is the Lord Jesus Christ and so is the Holy Spirit. Amen? The less unity we have as a church, the less credibility we have as a church. Now, there's some preachers who have done with Sister White as some have done with the Apostle Paul, taking a little bit here and a little bit there to make it say what they want it to say. Sister White said this to one minister who was wondering if he should stay in the church. She he said, you will take passages in the testimony that speak of the close of probation, of the shaking among God's people, and you will talk of a coming out of this people of a purer, holier people that will arise. Now all this pleases the enemy, she says. And I remember being at camp meeting right here in Michigan. On the way out, this gentleman was very nice, handed me a brochure and said, please read it. The Lord has inspired me to give it to everyone on this campus. And so I started reading through that. And it said that the only place that you can be is this little town outside of King, Texas, the New Zion. And I thought, this group's going to be surprised when the Holy Zion of heaven comes down, aren't they? God is not calling us to go hide in a cave somewhere. He's not calling us to be one little group here and one little group there and just stay there. Don't worry about the world. Just dress a certain way. Only eat these certain foods. God is calling us to go back out into the world and bring our brothers and sisters into this church. There's some people that harp on certain themes to get us all stirred up. And some of these preachers that come around that are independent, and forgive me, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I want you to know that there are some independent ministries that are doing a wonderful work for God. And I'm not going to list them, but some people wear out some themes to get people stirred up. There is a time of trouble coming to the people of God. And we need to preach about that here too. But we are not to keep that constantly before the people and rein them up to have a time of trouble beforehand. There is to be a shaking among God's people, but this is not the present truth to carry to the churches. The ministers should not feel that they have some wonderful advanced ideas, and unless all receive these, they will be shaken out, and a people will arise to go forward and upward to the victory. And yet that's usually what you hear. It's usually what you hear with these men that have one theme to pound over and over again. Unless you join our ranks, you will not go to victory. So what can we do, brothers and sisters? What can we do to protect ourselves? Paul says, test all spirits. When someone comes along with some claim new light or impresses you that this is the way to go, test it. Keep your Bibles open. Keep your prayer life open. Ask for the Holy Spirit to reveal it if it is true or not. And if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, what does the Bible say? There's no light in them. We need to be a people of the Word, don't we? Tapes are okay. It's all right to buy tapes and hear your favorite preacher. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to know the Word of God for ourselves. The Holy Spirit's available to every one of us. We need to ask for that Holy Spirit. And we are to seek for unity. We're not to seek for one little group that's supposed to have all the light. We're to seek to unity for the whole church and make sure all of our brothers and sisters are in harmony headed to the heavenly Zion. One of the last camp meetings that we had, our president, filled with the Holy Ghost, had this impression that we needed to come together not just to put tents up, not just to prepare the ball field for the kids, not just to get our sermons in order for the camp meeting, but to come together in harmony and fellowship and study and prayer. And we spent the first two evenings of our camp meeting preparation on our knees together. There was one of the most wonderful, joy-filled experiences of many, many camp meetings of past. as I talked to pastors that were new and pastors that were old to Michigan Conference, they said, this has been one of the most Spirit-filled times we've ever experienced. Pastor Larry, I think you can say amen to that. And I thought how wonderful it is to have leadership that know how to bring God's Holy Spirit to the camp meeting. When the shepherds are in unity, our people are united. And we go forward in faith. And someday we will have one great shepherd over us all. And I'd like you to see how Jeremiah whets our appetites for that great day. Would you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31? Jeremiah 31, starting in verse 10. Jeremiah 31:10, hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. He who scattered Israel will gather them and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the oil, the young of the flocks and herds. They will be like well-watered gardens, and they will sorrow no more. Then maidens will dance and be glad, young men and old as well. I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow. I will satisfy the priest with abundance, and my people will be filled with my bounty, declares the Lord. Are you looking forward to that great day, brothers and sisters? A day when Jesus Christ will be our great shepherd, as he's supposed to be now, but then in perfect harmony. We need to have a living faith. We need to have open Bibles in our homes and family worships and private devotions so that when the enemy of souls comes with some new fanatical thought, we will have a fortress of strength that will withstand his tempest winds. May Jesus Christ help each one of us to stay faithful to the very end. We need to preach Christ and him crucified. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. You and I have a message to take out to this dying world that Jesus Christ died for every man, woman, and child, and that Jesus has a truth for today to prepare our hearts for the second coming. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we need to be shepherds of unity. We need to be guarded against anything that would take us away from the truth as it's found in Jesus Christ. May we remain faithful and holy, sanctified by your word and the blood of Christ. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.